Welcome to episode 350 of the Countdown Podcast. It is our extravaganza. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Celebrate. Well, times.
Times? Come on.
Because here we are. Who'd have thunk it? That almost 7 years ago we kicked off this podcast.
Is that how long we've been doing this?
Almost. March next year will be 7 years. But of course, because it's 350 and that doesn't go into 52, we're a few weeks short
of that.
Yeah, we're going to do that old school kind of episode. We did it for 300. We're going to do it for 350. I'm not sure what we'll do. Sure, we make 400.
Yeah.
But this one is going to be a whole bunch of the throwback classic segments that we did back in the day before the show got shortened and streamlined. No countdown today, so if you're here looking for a countdown in some description, sorry.
No, but you will like this, because this is the shizzle. Like, people who've been with us since the beginning know of this and how the show's sort of evolved and evolving. And this is the kind of crap we used to do on top of the countdown.
Yep.
Provided a few laughs, I can tell you.
Well, hopefully.
And some anger.
Well, yeah.
So, I stand resolute, like motherfucker!
Yes, that's right. And if you're new here, Paul does this shit where he fucking plays my own song.
No one says this episode's a first.
I'm just saying.
But that said, you know, maybe someone is just going, oh, fuck it, what's this show?
Yeah.
Give this a go. Extravaganza, you say. Oh, well, I'm in.
Exactly. I'm sure that did it.
So we're going to cover a whole bunch of segments. We're going to have, check it out, a bit of news about what's current right now. Yes, that dates it, but that's okay because it's a special occasion.
Exactly. It's right? Fine.
Then we're going to have a bit of insane in the memoine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Wayne's going to give an unpopular opinion and try and defend it while I smash soundboard buttons at him left, right, and center.
Yeah.
But actually, I tell a lie. We actually kick off with Pop 10. We're going to reverse everything around the ass around backwards because for reasons that will become clear once I go through the Pop 10.
That's right.
So your feedback on recent things,
mm-hmm.
or if you prefer a recount, but it's all the same thing. And then we'll get into Cool for Cast, taglines, maybe not in that order. And finally, your friend and our friend, Steven Seagal, is back in a significant way in Seagal Watch.
So there you are.
That's the show's lineup. Let's get into it then. On the other side of, well, a thing that normally ends every show but starts today because why the fuck not? The Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
This week's Pop 10 is all about our friend, your friend, everyone's friend, apparently, according to the vote, the soundboard.
God.
I asked, this was a good occasion. I thought, you know what, we're coming to the new year. We're almost 7 years into the show, 350th episode. Let's see whether you are right or I am right as to whether the soundboard is valued by the listeners. Well, in the most one-sided vote in countdown history, the vote was 90 votes soundboard yes, 7 votes soundboard no.
There's a factor here you're not considering.
Which is what?
Everyone loves to give me shit.
Yes.
So that's what's going on here. You didn't win. Bad taste won.
That's a bingo.
Well, if you hadn't bitten so hard for 100, 250 episodes, whatever it is, the soundboard came in.
Yeah, Nick told me that. He said the soundboard is not funny. Your reactions are. So just ignore it. But of course, I'm a showman. I'm here for the audience. Paul, not so much.
You can't handle the truth.
Scott Thompson said, nothing has been more powerful in the fight against Wayne.
No, I would agree with that.
Troy Spinner said, I'd be against the soundboard if the both of you are pro it, but the fact that it riles Wayne up so much makes it worthwhile. You get some great exchanges in there because of it. Personally, I'd like to see some updated Wayne soundbites. Hold your horses there, Troy.
Hang on a sec.
You know there's some killer drops in there.
Yes, but that's just more of the same problem where Paul plays something and people think I'm saying it live, but in fact he's playing it back and no one knows what the fuck's going on.
Chef Ben Randall says, I stand resolute, motherfucker! Catherine Guard said, it wouldn't be the countdown without the star of the show. Wayne, you and I have been usurped by the soundboard.
Okay, first of all, no we haven't. Fuck that thing.
So, Catherine, what Wayne's basically saying is,
eat my ass! Eat all the S's, man!
What a real problem this is. This is a real problem.
Ah, dear me. All right, a couple more just to so you're all aware. Now, Dan Brennick was a naysayer. You know my thoughts.
Yes, good. Thank you, Dan, for being on my team.
No, he doesn't want it. Robert Stewart, new patron to the show. Thank you, Stu, for supporting the show.
Rob.
Viva la soundboard!
Again, you're underestimating the hatred from me.
Josh Ragland says, soundboard every day and twice on Sunday, which is helpful because most days we record are a Sunday.
Bitch, please. Sadly, Paul uses it far more than twice.
And last one here. Dylan Nikolovsky said, I told at least 7 people to eat all the asses yesterday. The soundboard stays.
Well, people, I hope you're happy. Because you like to rag on me, this mother-cunting fart-on-a-kitten's-twat soundboard is still around. What are you going to do?
Well, what they're going to do is this. In a follow-up post,
oh fuck,
I said, you know what? If you really want more Wayne soundboards,
oh shit,
write to me. Let me know what things you want on there, because it's a lot of work trawl through episodes and whatever else. And you know what? The people responded, Wayne. How do you feel about that?
Oh, fuck off. Oh, no. I'm just going to start playing
them now. Oh, yeah. It's business time.
Wait, this is you? That one are you playing your own sound? Are you going to make it even more confusing.
Are you saying that rather than have more soundboards, you'd...
I think I'd rather eat some piss.
Oh, fucking hell.
Now you see why I wanted the pop 10 to be at the top of the episode.
Shit, no wonder. He's like, let's pop it up. I'm like, huh? Okay. There you go.
I was like, I don't understand. So here are some shout-outs to the people who got back to me with the details about where the sound bite should be. From Andrew Watson, who gave us a couple of options here that will pop up at some point today, I'm pretty certain. Thank you very, very much, sir. Ashley Gorski, who gave us... Oh, yeah. It's business time.
This is weird because you sound exactly like you do now. And so it's like, this is confusing as fuck.
That's me on the Fly the Conchords episode on Ashley's show. Do check it out. Erica San Pedro gave a very specific one, which I think Wayne's probably adequate right now.
What have I done to deserve this bullshit?
Oh, God.
And then Paul Steed came in with a whole bunch of them. Including, you know, every time.
I saw that one. That was a long post.
I didn't put them all in there, but I did get a good couple out of there, which I think Paul was very, very pleased about, including...
Is that Paul retching? Is that what's going on here? Again, you got to make it obvious that you're not doing it live because you're an asshole. Is there a sound drop that says, oh, that's right, Paul doesn't fucking understand comedy? This makes complete sense to me. Eat some dicks. Eat some dicks. See, now no one knows what I'm saying and not that you're an asshole.
Our listeners are not assholes, and they are the ones that wanted this to happen. What a day. The show has evolved yet again with thanks to you, awesome, awesome people. If you want to get involved in this kind of discussion, you need to be in the Facebook listener community. Do join. The link's in the show notes. And get involved with all this kind of craziness so that you can shape the show moving forward.
And if you want to hear some nasty shit, think about becoming a patron and getting all of our horrible stories about dating and
which kind of chocolate bar should be up your ass.
Yeah, things like that happen over there, man. It's nasty. What? Okay. Also links in the show notes.
Yes, link also in the show notes. All right, that is it. Let's get into the news this week in a segment which doesn't appear, well, once every year or so. It's called Check It Out.
What's up, y'all? I haven't heard that in like years.
Well, at least 50 episodes. This is where we have some news that's going around. Wayne, what is your first item of news for the listeners to know about?
Okay, Paul, did you know that Guy Ritchie is making a new film?
I did. I saw the trailer. I almost had the same
idea. Really?
How quickly does this guy produce a film?
Well, when he makes...
Wrath of Shit was like seven months ago.
It takes you 10 minutes to make that movie because it's sick. This one is called Operation Fortune Rouge de Guerre. Now...
Can I say the first thing?
Please.
Jason Statham, very easy to make cool. What? Josh Hartnett, very easy to make cool.
Yeah.
Audrey Plaza, not so
easy to
make cool.
Okay, let's get into this. Aubrey, those are the three leads.
Aubrey
Plaza. I am not a fan.
No.
Okay, I've just never been a fan. All right. So it's about a, by the way, Rouge de Guerre is some French-ass term, which means the accepted unorthodox approach to war. Some of our listeners, Jen, I'm looking your direction, speak fluent French. You can tell me if I said that wrong or not. And it's about this team of top operatives, right? And including Wesley from fucking...
Yeah, Cary Elwes.
Cary Elwes. They recruit Hollywood's biggest star, played by Josh Hartnett, to help them on an undercover mission to stop a billionaire arms broker...
Played by Hugh Grant.
Okay? From selling like some deadly weapons shit that fuck shits up. Okay? That's it. Now, I will tell you this. This doesn't look like his cool stuff based on this trailer, okay? Guy Ritchie usually uses that really indie sort of filter and everything's a bit grotty. That's cool. All of that shit is cool. All of his movies with that in it is good, right?
Wrath of Man arguably had the same thing.
Was it? Because that looked like that was a piece of shit all around, right? This is what Guy Ritchie does.
He does as much as you. Look out for that one. And Wayne's worst 10 of the year list coming soon.
Fuck me. It's the worst thing ever, right? So he's, but that's the thing. He does 3 good movies or 2.5 good movies and then one just fucking lays a huge log.
Revolver.
Yes. That's what he does every few movies.
Swept away.
Oh, shit. And it's amazing that he's capable of such good things.
Like I said, the turnaround time on this is fucking incredible.
He's insane. And this is the thing. Like, this is shot in that very clean, overlit type way. And it looks like a really professional production. It looks like The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which may be one of my favorite films. All right? So I know. And that's nothing like it. So it could be good, but it doesn't really look that good from here. I'll just tell you. What did you think of the trailer?
I know we'll do it because we'll review it for the show.
Oh, yeah. It's Guy Ritchie and
whatever else. But yeah, a part of me did think,
what have I done to deserve this bullshit?
No, you didn't. You just wanted to play the sound, bitch.
No, I did think, I'm not new.
Oh, look, the Aubrey put me off a bit, but I'm still going to watch it. So what are you going
to do? Yeah, we will watch it for sure. All right, my first item of news is slightly more consequential. Although my second item of news is not.
That's fine.
So Universal Pictures have now announced and have a deal where they're going to release their slate of films to Peacock, a streaming app which doesn't exist here, I believe, in Australia yet.
Nope.
45 days after the theatrical release. Now, this is significant because pre-COVID pandemic, it was 90-day window.
Mm.
So all the studios had this. It was an exclusive cinema rights for 90 days, so 3 months, give or take. Now it's down to half of that. This is the compromise that they've settled upon. So all films from Illumination Entertainment, DreamWorks, Focus Features, and of course Universal Pictures as well, will start in 2022 with only this 45-day guaranteed window. So day 46 after a film drops into cinemas, it will appear on Peacock and therefore be around the world for illegal torrenting soon thereafter.
How do these cinemas feel about this, Paul? I guess they came up with the agreement.
I didn't see, it was all very pro the article that I read. I didn't see the cinema's instant reaction because this is very, very new. I think this came out 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But that's the question. What impact will this have on the cinema experience, on the theatres, on the theatre chains you own? Are we seeing the death of this is awful to me.
No, it's horrendous.
Having just spent however long it was in our review of June talking up the cinematic experience and the fact that you can't do things on a 29-inch screen, how bad is this though?
Well, that means 6 weeks. Your run is 6 weeks no matter what. Yeah, you could probably keep it there, but you wouldn't, right? Like, you probably keep it there for 2 weeks.
Well, the moment that it comes out for streaming, surely you just go, all right, moving on to the next.
Yeah, because everyone's going to grab it, right? So that's bad, man. Like, sometimes you have blockbusters that stay fucking in cinemas for like 6 months, bro, right? And they can't do that.
Very rarely.
Yeah, very rarely. But like, they had the option of it. You throw a few Marvel films here and there, you know, people are always going
to
come see it.
Well, there are exceptions to the contract, including Nolan's Oppenheimer, which is his next film. His clause contract with Universal's because he moved away from Warner Brothers, remember, after the whole Tenet thing.
Which is weird because they did the thing he wanted and it still didn't work. Yeah, well, anyway, what are you going to do?
So he's gone there and he has a 90-day still exclusive theater window. So they have created this, but for the big, big blockbusters you're talking about, we can still have that 90-day exclusive window with the right contract in place.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm thinking this is maybe the best of both worlds. So
it is, as long as you get out there quick. So hardcore film geeks like us, we'll try and get there as quick as we can, all right? We got to advance
screening. Well, we will accept them like unless... You
for
know,
stuff that we like.
COVID is running rampant and either A, we're not allowed, or B, we're only allowed to where it seems like it's extreme risk, right? And I think that's where the states are at the moment. Like, if you go to the movie theaters, not to speak for them, but my sense of it is everyone knows COVID's running rampant.
Yeah, you'll probably get it.
You'll probably get it, but do I want to get it in a movie theater when I could watch it at home on a streaming option?
Exactly. So there's no... See, here's the thing, though. To make it such a uniform 45 days, boom, right? Everyone knows, oh, here's the drop date. I can wait 45 days and just see it at home, right? And so they don't get to the cinema.
Well, everyone can, but you and I can't. Podcasters can't. Like, we miss our window for 7 weeks, as we'll find out with the June release or
so
with Venom.
Cinemas are just going to be filled
with podcasts,
reviewing film podcasts. That's going to make things weird because they're like, yeah, there was no one in there but assholes like me.
Yeah. All right, that's my item of news.
Very nice. My next item of news is the Bond betting pool, Paul.
All right.
Yes. Now that Dan Craig is begged off from the series, it is now up to the bookies to see who are the front runners for what the next Bond is going
to
be.
Up to the bookies slash...
Well, it's up to everyone, but the bookies are giving odds on it. Yeah, okay. So it looks like Tom Hardy is still leading the way.
Come on.
I know. We don't need Tom Hardy.
I don't think he's got the grace or the, I don't know, the charm, to be honest.
That's right. Now, he's still the favorite. And not for me either. He's good at stuff. I like Tom Hardy. Not so much for a Bond.
I would like my James Bond to be able to speak clearly.
Do you think he talks
enunciate appropriately?
He will have to affect an Oxford-type accent because James is a bit fucking
That's what I'm saying.
Posh.
Yes.
Right? So
I don't know. I honestly don't know if he can do posh.
Oh, if he can do one British accent, surely he can do. I mean, he has a British accent, but surely he can, you know, make a South Kent accent or some shit. I don't know. Anyway, but the other people are Idris Elba. He improved.
Too old.
I know. Too old.
I would love to have an African American, well, not African American, but a black actor in the role.
Yeah,
I would
me too.
Love to have a person of color.
Yeah.
But if he's 50, whatever he is already.
Is he already that age?
And where, you know, Daniel Craig started when he was in his, I think, early 40s.
Yeah.
Or maybe even late 30s. That's what I'm saying. It's too old if he's 50-ish.
Absolutely. He hasn't got longevity. Henry Cavill has improved also.
Yeah, I like Henry Cavill.
I love me some Henry Cavill.
Although he's American, so maybe not.
Well, there was other contenders. Richard Madden?
No.
No way, man.
He was fucking awful in Eternals.
He's so fucking pretty. Fuck him. Tom Hopper. Do you know who Tom Hopper is?
No.
Tom Hopper is... Do you remember... Game of Thrones.
Yep.
There was that actor called Dickon who got flamed by Daenerys's horses. Oh, sorry, dragons. He's a really good looking guy. He's actually, yeah, well, anyway, he was there. Anyway, he's in the running. And Jamie Bell.
Yeah.
I don't know who James Norton is. And some have bandied about Mahershala Ali. It doesn't look like...
Well, he's younger.
Yeah.
So that gets rid of my qualm about Idris Elba, because otherwise I think he's the perfect for it.
Yeah. But... No, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No, fuck
off. Okay, because that was never going to fucking happen. Oh. Him saying that was dumb as shit, if you ask me. I'm like, come on, man. Come on, man. Oh, God, that's going to suck. That's really going to suck.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is James Bond. Get fucked.
Because he said he wants it.
No, I don't give a fuck what you want.
I know.
Rock Johnson, fuck off. Get back to fucking making family with Vin Diesel. Well, and
Bond
leave the
needs
fuck
hair,
on.
Okay? He just needs hair. Okay, I got to look up to him for Christ's sake.
Well, that's interesting. I did hear one of the producers or the owners of the IP, I think, just go, we're never going to have a female Bond.
Yes, because it's a shit idea.
I don't know.
It's a shit idea. Just do a female Bond move. Sorry, a female spy movie. Call her Jane fucking ass. I don't give a fuck, right? But yeah.
No, I'm open to the idea as long as someone can physically handle it and...
Well, do you think a male Lara Croft would be really cool? Or maybe you could just...
Well, yeah, it's called Uncharted.
Yes, see? Just do a whole new franchise. Do it for the girls too, all right? That's what I'm saying, people.
My second bit of and final bit of news today for Check It Out is one Wayne that you will be so eager to see. And I think I'm proposing right now we review this one.
All right.
The Foo Fighters are going to be in a movie.
What the fuck? Okay, go on. This makes complete sense to me. Fuck off.
The Foo Fighters are going to be a film called Studio 666. And it basically follows a band coming together for the recording of their 10th studio album in some mansion steeped in grisly rock and roll history. Once there, Dave Grohl finds himself grappling with supernatural forces that threaten both the completion of the album and the lives of the band.
Did you wish upon a star, Paul? Is that what happened? Did you say put my favorite rock group in a horror movie?
In the North America's Get It On. Ow!
The fact that you're doing what I assume is your Dave Grohl
shows
me how. Oh, okay.
I'm now channeling Wayne.
I think I'd rather eat some piss. Wow, a Foo Fighters horror movie.
Yeah, but it looks very tongue in cheek. Very tongue in cheek. And like very horror comedy.
Wow, that's like if John Mayer made a rom com. That's how much I'd want to see that movie.
No, what is an 80s rom com where they just play tapes to each other and make mixtapes?
Yes! One. I don't know how we're going to fit him in. But anyway, yeah, that'd be great.
I'm proposing that for late February. Watch out for our review of Studio 666.
Okay. It's cool then, huh?
All right, that's Check It Out for this week. Thank you so much for listening through that part, Wayne. Bit of insane in your memoir.
Sure, what the hell.
All right, here it is.
Let's get Paul mad.
Insane in the memoir.
Insane in his brain.
Insane in the memway.
Ball choke on my balls.
What?
Been a while for that one too. Okay. Insane
in
the memway.
It's bad when we're still laughing at our own shit years later.
I don't think that will ever end, unfortunately. Okay. Everyone, Insane in the memway is a segment where I present a potentially unpopular view or hot take.
Potentially.
That sometimes enrages some people. In this case, the enraged person will... No doubt be Paul himself.
All right, in that case.
Bitches leave.
So even Wayne laughs at the soundboard.
Yeah, you know, I'm just being kind to you. Fuck you. So, all right, everyone. So If you've ever listened to us talk about this director in any past episodes, you will note in my voice a tone of, yeah, but that Paul, well, while Paul is shitting
Antoine
all
Fuqua.
Over. No. If only. No, Paul, my hot take, my insane in the memoir is that I actually quite like Harmony Korine films.
Oh,
I know, I know.
You're killing me, Smart.
He's very upset, everyone.
Wait, which film?
Okay, look, to be fair, I only saw two, all right?
Which ones did you see?
I saw The Beach Bum.
Fucking terrible.
And I saw Spring Break.
Oh, fuck off!
Okay, no, let me get on this first, okay? Here it is, okay? The problem is, with his films, is that when people go and see a film, they expect a film.
Yes.
Yes.
Funny that.
That's right. Now, he's not actually making a film in the conventional sense. I mean, he is insofar as he's using film. However, what I would say is that Harmony Korine is actually not a good filmmaker. What he is a good art director.
Okay.
Because
I'm less upset about this now.
Yeah, because what happens is, I was watching Spring Breakers. The whole first sequence of that thing is just titties on a beach at spring break. No, hang on. It's not
it
about
all
that.
Makes sense
it's not
now.
About the titties, all right? What I'm saying is, the actual scene, the
not
way
about
it's
the
shot,
titties.
The way it's
Bullshit.
Shot, it's really quite stark and it's quite confronting because he puts titties right in the face and slow-mo shakes them. And I'm like, whoa. And it's this, and it lasts for the full song and then it cuts
Are
into...
Are you trying to artistically defend the decision to put titties in the forefront
the
of the shot?
Well, in the context of the film, it's called Spring Breakers. You're supposed to get a certain feeling from it. And I believe that's what he does with his film. The Beach Bum, he is just trying to...
But...
What? Yeah, you're saying it's not what it's supposed to be.
When you're in your 40s, watching that is just icky.
Yeah, I know. And again, I wasn't turned on by it. I was actually appreciating the craft. I mean it, all right?
Take it back!
You're an asshole. If you watch it, tell me, holy shit, it's quite surprising, and then it cuts to nothing. So that's what he's doing. Every film he's doing, he's trying to impart a feeling. He's not necessarily... It's almost like the script is an excuse for him to film his shot. They actually look beautiful, and the music is actually well-suited. They are put together well. However, what he does is he's just giving you little scenes with its own sort of a tone poem in each scene, right? And you're supposed to kind of go, oh, this is how I feel. You're actually asking, how does this scene make me feel?
At any point in the history of this show where you've referred to me as being a film wanker, you just equaled it by saying tone poem.
Well, that's kind of the only way I can describe it, because the idea of it is what is actually what it's selling you. And the reason people who are looking for a plot are disappointed is because they're going, oh, shit, how long is this fucking film going to go? And why is he cutting it this weird way?
Too long.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're looking for a film, as in a plot, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're looking to sort of take a feeling from it, you're actually quite happy. And I've started to do that with those films. So I haven't seen some stuff. That's not pleasant, motherfucker. That shit is not pleasant. You might want to rethink the shit out of that, motherfucker. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. We have not contributed anything to society this day. On the other hand, I think I have. Because if you ever see a Harmony Korine now, you'd be like, well, let's see if this fuckface's tone poems come out. So...
Whereas I'm thinking,
what have I done to deserve this bullshit?
Fucking hell. I'll give you a little tip, Paul. When you play my voice back at me, I have to talk over it so people know the context, but you won't do that with yours, so I got to talk over those two, motherfucker. Comedy, look it up. So, that is our Insane in the Memwane this week.
Wow.
Suitably disgusting, Paul. Yeah. And no doubt perplexing many of you.
Oh, some people, I think, would be on my side of the fence. Though I do know some podcasters who defend Harmony Korine.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's a real like polarizing director. He's one of those guys.
Absolutely.
And we know where Paul comes down. Exactly.
Talentless piece of shit. Anyway. Well, Wayne's a cunt. Moving on.
You had to clip that one.
I did because you were laughing too hard.
Ha! Good. Suck dick.
Shall we move on then to, I think, taglines?
Yeah, let's do taglines.
Turn good? Yeah, taglines it is, and you'll hear about that in a moment.
We got these taglines. I know you know it.
Yeah, bitch, I know it.
We know we got these taglines.
Ah, geez, we amuse ourselves. All right, taglines is where we have the tagline from a film. We have three categories, easy, medium, and hard. And Wayne and I go back and forth, revealing the tagline and who can guess that film.
That's right. So Paul throws a tagline at me. I try to guess the movie and vice versa.
All right. So I'll lead off, Wayne. Here we are.
Here we go. Easy one.
The easy one. This is easy.
Really? Okay.
Heroes don't get any bigger.
Got to be Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well played, sir.
Cool.
Well played, sir. One to nothing.
Sure.
Back to you, sir.
Okay. Here's my easy one for you. Okay, because we did actually... No, actually, no. Sorry.
If you're making qualifications for your easy one, you have fucked up.
I'm not cunt. Here it is, right? This is the tagline. The bride gets the thrills, the father gets the bills, and thrills and bills are both all caps.
Is this in the era of the podcast? That was the fucking rule.
What?
Had to be within the last 6 years.
Oh, really? That wasn't a rule, was it?
Father bride would be my guess.
Yes, it totally is. I didn't know it. Book.
Okay, I'm now going to refer to
suck
our chat.
My big hairy balls. It doesn't matter, motherfucker. I don't recall that ever being a thing. But very importantly, eat my balls.
Where's my photo I sent of shit?
Who gives a fuck, Vagisil? I'm sure you're right, but I don't recall it.
Taglines, easy meaning, hard examples from within the life of the show, i.e. the last 7 years.
I don't fucking
you
remember
are
that.
A dickhead.
I fucking remember that.
Alright, so this is no one's winning this one because Wayne can't read.
I'll eat my fucking rules, bitch. Alright, yeah, cool. Don't worry about it. Let's just fun.
Fine.
You got it anyway, so you got it.
One all. Medium. Just say the word.
Ooh, is it Shazam?
Yes.
What's
nailing this shit, motherfucker? 2-1.
Okay, well, my medium is really quite good.
Outside the 7 years, but sure.
Sure, it might be. I can't remember. I don't know. All right, suck on dicks.
Well, you need to tell me that.
I don't know, cunt. It's fucking... Here's the tagline. Ready? The true story of a real fake.
Don't know it. What are you from?
Hang on, Condox. 2002.
Yes! You are a piece
I don't
of
know,
shit.
Motherfucker! Jesus, I forgot! You've got to reinforce the brief. The agency won't remember.
I write it to you, and I send it to you, and you go, sounds good.
When was that?
I fucking look back through our fucking exchange.
I can't.
I literally read off our chat.
Shit. I completely forgot that rule. To me, I've never done it. But hey, you know.
Well, we did it last time at 300.
It was 50 episodes ago, slut.
That's why I specified it in the fucking chat.
Sorry, cunt.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Okay, wicked. So yeah.
Right, well, why had every film in existence I had the last fucking 6 years.
These are easy cunt. I mean, sort of.
The real story of a true fake for 2002.
The true story of a real fake. Okay, yes.
This is not even fucking Social Network, which is my instant guess. I don't know what shit was out at that time. 20 years ago, you dumb cunt.
All right.
What is it?
It's Catch Me If You Can.
Oh. Shit film I watched once.
I love that film. Okay.
And my hard one is she doesn't give an F.
Ooh, she doesn't give an F. Maybe the title of the movie is playing on letters. Easy A?
That's not a bad call at all. It's actually Bad Teacher.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. Nice. Okay. Here's
to try and draw it up with every film ever made as my canvas.
Oh, relax, bitch. This one is, his story will touch you even though he can't. Are you laughing?
I assume this is a film about someone with no hands.
Hey.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yes!
Okay.
See, you got the hard one, so there you are.
Duel, what a draw.
I'm saying. See, it worked out fine, Paul. Yeah. Everybody loves it.
Great, brilliant.
It's all good.
Let's move on then. Let's move on to Cool for Cast.
Remember at the podcast, there's a couple of lovely lads who swear they know much better and they're very cool for cast and cool for cats.
That sound drop is brilliant because she's saying cool for cats and we just
cut it out.
Just cut it out over the top with a...
Maybe we'll rethink that, but yeah.
You can tell that one was recorded very early in the show.
Oh, yes, early on.
Yes, The Usual Suspects from 1995, I believe, is this week's Cool for Cast, or this year's Cool for Cast, from an original idea from my mate Tim from primary school. Thank you, Tim, for this one.
Yes.
So we're going to recast the film now.
Yes.
So we're going to remake Usual Suspects because, Jesus, dear God, if there was any film that could be, but everyone remembers the twist, so it can't
work.
That's
right. You can't remake this film. But if we were to make it today.
But if, because of people being cancelled.
Yeah, the Kevin Spacey stuff, sure.
But this is a great suggestion. Wayne's idea, this one. All right, Wayne, I have a bunch of characters that I have. We'll just work our way through
them. Whip through them.
We'll start with the lesser important characters and work our way to the most important.
Sure.
I'll start with Agent Jack Bayer as played by Giancarlo Esposito in the original.
Jesus, was that him?
Yes, did you?
Really? I didn't know. Is he the cool guy with the hat?
Yes.
That motherfucker's cool. We are
the absolute definitive film and television podcast, ladies and gentlemen. If you've got any doubt, listen to the last 30 seconds back again.
Obviously, I didn't actually cast that one because I didn't pick him as a character.
Well,
cast.
I went with Brian Tyree Henry from Eternals.
Oh, really?
Yep. I think he could absolutely carry off the hat and the coolness and the gravitas.
In the Eternals, was he the one with the hammer, the strong one?
He was the gay guy who had a family.
Oh, him! Yeah, that's a good call.
He's from Atlanta as well.
Nice one, brother. Okay, but give me someone else.
All right, how many did you do?
I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, in that case, over to you. Who's your next?
We'll go with Agent Kuyong.
Yep.
Right? Originally played by Chaz Palminteri.
Yep.
I'm going to go with probably Woody Harrelson.
Interesting.
Yeah, now he's a little older.
And a lot less hair.
A lot less hair, but I believe the intensity of... Because the whole thing with Chaz Palminteri, he's like... I'm a fucking king dick fucking agent, man. I know my shit. I'll and then, you know, you need someone with that kind of like arrogance. So I think that he could do that.
Yeah, absolutely could. I think, and other than in Venom fucking Let There Be Carnage, Woody Harrelson is a great actor. So for the same role, Dave Kuyan, I went with Pedro Pascal.
Good one. I would believe him too.
Totally. I could sell that role. Yeah. No problem at all. All right, back to you.
Nice one. Let's go with Edie Finneran, remember?
I didn't bother casting her because she's in the film with two fucking scenes.
Yeah, but she's a redhead, so I cast Jennifer and Lawrence in that role.
She's not redhead, is she?
Yeah, she's redhead as well. Edie, Susie Amos.
Edie Finneran in the show.
Yeah, Susie Amos is the actress. Yeah. I fucking was in love with her.
Really?
Yeah. I know she's a Rango, so you didn't notice her, Paul. But I love me some Rang. So that means redhead, everyone. So...
All right, fair enough. The next one I had was Kobayashi.
Kobayashi.
As played by Pete Postlethwaite.
Postlethwaite.
Who was a wonderful actor. Rest in peace. Now, really going off book here a little bit here.
Yeah.
One in English still. One of that sort of...
Well, I got some questions about that, but keep going.
Yeah, one of the... I'm not even sure Pete Postlethwaite's English, but...
I'm pretty sure he is, but more importantly, this Kobayashi character is supposed to be, I'm guessing, a white man with Japanese heritage.
Know about that.
His name is Kobayashi.
Yeah, let us make that shit up.
Well, here's the thing. He sounds Indian. To me, I think he's doing an Indian accent.
Might be. I went with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, good call. Benedict Cumberbatch would totally nail that thing. I went with, because of the odd speaking style, I actually went with Donald Sutherland.
Very old.
Is he a bit old?
Fair enough. So Pete Postlethwaite was pretty old at the time.
Yeah, I
went younger, but you've gone older. Fair enough.
I think if Kobayashi is this old guy that's standing next to, you know, verbal or whatever, right? Then
not verbal. Next to Kaiser Soze.
Kaiser Soze, yeah. Right? It's like, I get that an old guy might do it. You're right, he's a bit old. If not him, Ian McShane. That's the only other guy I had.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Gruff old cunt.
Not bad at all. Yeah. Next one I had was your favorite character and actor in the show, Fenster.
Fenster.
Benicio Del Toro.
Murdered by Benicio Del Toro. Right? Worst thing about the film, no doubt. Okay. So.
Who, Jeff?
This is a really odd one. I'm choosing Wilmer Valderrama. Do you know who he is?
No.
Okay. On the 70s show, he was Fez.
Right.
Right? And that.
Boy, left field call wants his choice back.
That. Well, he actually had a lisp like this, and that's how he actually talks, right? Ah. He's now on NCIS, or NPMS, as I call it.
Why?
He's just, there's one of the...
Why is on the show? Why do you call it that?
Because PMS is a funny three words that means premenstrual... Anyway, the point is, right?
I feel like I'm taking
We always do this to shows, man. We always do this shit. Anywho. So, yes, but because he is brown. He's brown. And Fenster was brown. So I'm like, okay, let's keep that there. Let's keep the ethnicity in there. But he also talks weirdly or normally. And his is far easier to handle than Benicio's bullshit.
Well, I went slightly differently. I went with hot property du jour at the moment, Jonathan Majors.
Oh, I love Jonathan Majors.
I know. Can you imagine him doing Fenster?
Fucking A. You know what? Great. You win. Let's make your movie. Let's make your fucking movie. All right?
I think he would kill that shit.
Yeah, good call. I'm down with that. Not bad. Oh, by the way, what do you think about Nicolas Cage in that role? Is he just too old? Because he's going to do some shit like this, you know?
You know, honestly, I did go to ages, approximately, and I went in the same decade.
Yeah, we're trying to sell this movie.
So,
we're trying to get some people in here.
You know, you can't sell a 19-year-old playing in these characters. They're all meant to be world-weary. They're all meant to be whatever. And at a certain point, if you've not moved up the food chain high enough, you've either gotten out of the game or you've been killed. Exactly. So
yeah. Now your character changes if you're age. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's fine. Okay. Well, what about what about McManus, mate? What about McManus? What about Stephen Baldwin character?
Yep. All right. Okay. I had Andrew Garfield.
Really?
Kind of unassuming, not big, not whatever, but I reckon can bring the intense moments of craziness if he has to.
Interesting, because Stephen Baldwin was an asshole the whole time, right? But I like the idea of swapping it out and just going, who is this guy? And then all of a sudden he's an asshole.
I know Andrew Garfield saying Hacksaw Ridge is the nicest guy alive, but I think he's got that capacity to bring that intensity to it and like, and sell it.
Well, that's a good call. That's not bad. I actually put in Jason Statham in that role.
Yep.
Right? Because I'm like,
I mean, that's a badass normal.
I want to see him do that, though. I want to see him be a bit funny. I want to see him do that.
Stephen Baldwin was only, and the reason probably didn't even crop on my radar is because I think Jason Statham's close to 50 now, and Stephen Baldwin was only 35 at the time this film was made.
Wow, you can't even tell. Jason Statham looks great.
a bit of a
great dreamboat. Yeah, let's face it. He is.
Todd Hockney, Wayne. Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak.
Yep.
I go for Jeremy Renner.
Yep.
Sort of mousy guy, you know, not now little, but kind of.
You're gonna be pissed off here.
What?
I decided to do a bit of a gender swap here.
Oh no! He went woke, motherfucker!
I did. I went Mary Elizabeth Winstead because she's plain and unassuming.
Long-time listeners will know that Paul and I don't see eye to eye on Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I think she's gorgeous. He does not.
I do not understand.
He does not. Yeah, I understand. I mean, you know, she's a little skinny, sure. Yeah, but anyway.
I think that she kind of fits. She looks like Kevin Pollak.
She doesn't look like Kevin Pollak, you fucking asshole. Fuck no. All right, this is known as Paul stirring the pot, everyone. That's what's going on here. All right, so interesting choice. But you know what? I reckon that movie would be easy to sell now, so maybe there's a method to your bullshit.
I've only got two left. Keaton and Verbal Kint.
Okay, let's go with
you. You got anyone else?
Nope, that's it. That's all of us.
All right, so Keaton, arguably the main character, although, you know.
I'd say he's the lead-ish.
He and Verbal Kint. Oh, it's probably all about Verbal Kint. So let's go with Keaton next. Gabriel Byrne, brilliant in this role.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Adam Driver. So I got rid of the,
I see.
The English-Irish.
Yeah, yeah, I did that myself.
I didn't really care about that. I wanted someone who looked a little bit like him but can bring the acting gravitas.
I think my issue is Adam Driver is not going to get Edie Susie Amon. Same team is.
Oh, he'd have no problem.
Oh, mate, I reckon that. Like Adam Driver.
Who did you cast again?
Who did I cast as Keaton?
Yeah. No, not Keaton. As Eddie Finneran.
Oh, it's Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh,
she's not going there, mate.
Gabriel Byrne, she would go for back then.
Gabriel Byrne is a heartthrob, man. He was fucking all about that shit. Adam Driver looks like my undercarriage. But what?
It's all about the power. It's not about how they look. Gabriel Byrne's a normal looking dude.
He's a good looking man. He's a good looking older man.
Now, but I'm saying back then in 1995, 26 years ago, he looked normal.
I think you'll find a lot of girls have fans of him.
Okay. I've not heard of him being a heartthrob symbol.
Really? Anyway. On the set of The Usual Suspects, Stephen Baldwin actually complained that because all the women were rushing to do his makeup. And he's like, can I get some help over here? So yeah. But I cast, this was a tough one, Ben Affleck as Keaton.
Yeah, I can see
that. Because he could get Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, I
am. But also, you know, either him or like say Christian Bale, maybe. I might have gone that way.
Yeah, I can see that too.
That kind of thing.
Christian Bale feels very natural, like for like, for Gabriel Byrne.
Yeah, you're right? Because they're both Brits, I believe.
Both, sort of got Englishness. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So there you are.
All right, and then lastly, Verbal Kint, Wayne.
Verbal Kint, okay. So Kevin's
definitive Spaces. Role, which was the reason why this film is being remade.
Okay, I went through a few iterations of this, but I settled upon Sam Rockwell.
Is he going to dance in your movie?
I'm going to put a scene in like that. I'm putting a scene in with a walking verbal dance. It'll be a flashback because otherwise it'll give it all away. If he can dance that cool, that motherfucker must be smart. That's what everyone will think.
Except he's disabled.
Yeah, you're right. It really has to be a flashback. Unless we give him a decent... You're right. Sam Rockwell can do any of these things, man. He's the crazy dude who's also cool. Charlie's Angels, when he in that scene where he turned from... Fuck off. This is
E-F-G.
You're a cunt.
H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P-Q-R-S-T-U-V.
Oh, my God. Cut off, you fat cunt. You're a bitch. You suck.
That's all you have to do.
One of our listeners said, hey, Paul, they're all too long, so suck... Each of the dicks you see outside.
That was for you, listener. And Wayne.
Shit. What a cunt. I forgot what I was going to say, so fuck you. All right, here we go.
Who was it you said again?
I said fucking Sam Rockwell.
Would he dance?
Yes, a
flashback. Yes, okay.
Absolutely.
Possibly
just for me.
Will be Robert Pattinson.
Oh yeah, good call. Good call. Because he got that little vampire face off his.
Yeah,
you know?
He's very pale and whatever else. And I think he can play mousy and small. Yeah, exactly.
He's
that's what I'm saying.
Fantastic.
I think he
can
absolutely transform himself here. No worries at all. And when it's required for him to sort of stand up and be at the very end of the film who he actually is, no worries at all.
Not bad. A couple almost rans for this role. Joaquin Phoenix.
Yep.
Okay. And yep, I was thinking Ed Norton, but then everyone would not do the movie. Yeah. So maybe not.
Probably a very, very fair call. All right, that is it for Cool for Cast. What do you think? Let us know via email if you want to. Email's a big thing to write back about this, but just get involved in the show via email thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter @thecountdownpc. Wayne, what else is there? There's a Podbean app, I believe. You can join and follow the show.
Sure, Podbean.
Dynamite drop in money and broadcast school has really paid off.
We got one more segment to go, but I just thought while I was on the
roll. Yeah, you pulled through me right the fuck
I did,
yeah.
Why is it like, are we done? Is it not a fucking segment? Are you dumb cunt? What? And I'm like,
just look at
what the hell?
Shut up, fuckface.
No!
Oh, man.
No!
This is no damn good. Next right. week on the final countdown.
Oh, wait.
It's the final.
We are absolutely using that on the last show.
Oh, damn.
Fucking for sure, because they can sue the fuck out of us and we'll say, what, the show's
what
done?
What are you going to do? It's
done. Anyway, look, one more segment. It's called Strap Yourselves In, Ladies and Gentlemen. It's called Cigar Watch. Cigar Watch.
Okay, Seagal Watch is where we crap on Steven Seagal for various things.
It is, because he deserves it, because he's an A-class a-hole and an absolute piece of shit as a human being. And look, as much as we loved him when we were teenagers.
Yeah, we didn't know any better. Under Siege, cool. He's not that fat.
Under Siege, Hard to Kill, Mark for Death.
Yeah, all things that we really enjoyed.
Nico, Above the Law, yes. And Out for Justice. After that, it all went downhill very fast, although apparently at the time he was still a complete piece of shit.
Mm.
And it hasn't been the busy for years for our friend Mr. Seagal, but a couple of news items do stand out. The first is that he has joined a pro-Kremlin party in Russia, of which he is now a citizen.
Of course.
The party is called the, quote, A Justice Russia - Patriots - for Truth. That is the name of the
party. What? Just rolls off the tongue. Wow.
Now, one of the party leaders is a Russian writer named Zakha Prilyoplin, who admitted to commanding a combat unit in a conflict which has killed 14,000 people in 7 years. I shouldn't say that so chirpily.
Yes.
And just so everyone is aware, Putin, so that's who Steven Seagal is now choosing to align himself
with. Yeah, this is not a surprise. He's been buddies with.
What a guy. Oh, yeah. Right? I guess that's the chirpy element here.
Sure.
Fuck Steven Seagal. Fuck him from leaving America. Fuck him for joining a party which is all about slaughtering innocent people. And just so everyone is aware, Putin made Seagal a citizen because he wanted him to improve humanitarian ties between Russia and the US. How well do you think that's going?
Well, we're not helping at all, that's for sure. Anyway, not a surprise.
Well, and then just to add to his, in the second news item around Seagal Watch, how much of a cockhead Steven Seagal is.
Mm.
So he's currently living in Moscow, where he thinks he's safe from extradition, nor indeed American law. Or indeed American law.
Is he really? He's living in Russia now?
Because Securities and Exchange Commission went through Seagal's business manager to try and collect more than $200,000 the actor owes the government for failing to disclose he was being paid to promote Bitcoin, a particular kind of Bitcoin.
He's
apparently got paid $360,000 to promote and then just disappeared, taking the money with him. When this was heard before the court, Seagal, his manager, his lawyers did not even bother to turn up. The judge just said, go get him.
Really?
Because he owes $200,000 in tax on that money that he
as
made.
As in, go to Russia and get him.
Well,
extra,
hit him up for the money.
Wow.
So he's hiding over there.
I didn't even know he'd left America. Remember when he came to fucking Australia? He came to Perth, right? And he was ridiculous. He was doing some bullshit fucking talk. And for an extra way too much money, you could go train with him. I'm like, that fat fuck can't train.
And Wayne, we kept saying, Stephen, invite Wayne to this and then we can have a fight. And he did not do so because he's running scared like a little bitch.
That's right. I mean, tax bill be damned. He heard I was out.
Look, you can only be the world champion if, you know, someone doesn't challenge you, and you are the world champion versus Steven Seagal.
That's right. Good call. All right. I'm actually pretty comfortable with that.
Self-proclaimed.
Huh? I didn't know he was in Russia.
Co-host proclaimed.
There you are.
Look, I think it's time, Wayne. I think it's time that Steven Seagal has to be stopped.
Okay.
Now, I realize that we are a small podcast. in the top 1% of the world, sure, but, you know, down the lower end of it. But we need to do what we can to complete this man's fall from grace. We need to stop his menace before he continues to make films and destroys small minds around the world.
Well, you know, my guidance counselor did say that if I didn't go into marketing, Russian spy is what I should do.
I'm not saying we should become involved in counter-espionage. What I'm saying is it's time to point out to the world how shit Steven Seagal is in his chosen profession, which apparently is acting, because it's not fucking martial arts.
No, not anymore. Well, not even then, really.
So here's what we're going to do. Next year in 2022, Wayne and I are going to break down the Steven Seagal current echelon of films. We're going to review them slash call them out for the pieces of shit they are. Right. We're going to release them through the main feed.
Right. Might even make a little video accompanying it on the tube if you need it.
There might be a bit of that too, a more edited down perhaps version. But the point is, we are now declaring war on Steven Seagal. And that is what the sub name of this will be called. War on Steven Seagal number one, whatever piece of shit fucking film name following that. And we'll just see whether or not we get slapped with a cease and desist.
This should be piss funny. All right, let's try that. That's going to sound good. I didn't know we were going to call it that, but I'm down with it.
I made it up literally on the spot.
Let's just do that. All right.
Is that all right?
The War on Seagal?
The War on Seagal.
His shit films is a subline or something like that.
I'm not sure we can say shit, but we can say The War on Seagal.
Something like that.
We'll work it out, but there you are. So that's one of the many changes that are coming to the countdown. Now, it's probably a good time.
Yeah.
Gather around. Gather around, listeners. The old school.
Sitting comfortably.
The new school. Sit down.
Then we'll begin.
Wayne and I want to have a talk to you.
Right.
Show's not ending.
No.
I want to emphasize that to begin with.
Not at all.
It is going to undergo some changes.
Yeah.
For a good 3 years now, we've had Tuesday, 5 p.m. Australian Western Standard Time. The countdown drops.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, 5 p.m. Australian Western Standard Time. The review drops.
Mm-hmm.
We're changing it up.
Sure.
We need to, after coming up on 7 years, we're going to be a little bit like Radiohead.
That's right. Paul thinks Radiohead changed a whole lot. Right. We all know.
Are you a Radiohead fan? Are you now a Radiohead fan that wasn't a Radiohead fan before? Or are you still a fan? Do you not recognize how much they have changed?
And we're changing too.
We are changing a bit.
Not radically.
Standards change. Maybe more like Faith No More change.
Fuck
maybe,
your bands.
Maybe John Mayer moving from being soft cock 80s to soft cock 90s and back to 80s again.
I'm happy with that.
Point is, we're no longer. Once we release a review, we're just going to drop it straight away.
Yep.
It's not going to be at any designated time. If we get to see an advanced screening of a film, we're going to drop it as soon after that as possible. So You may have two episodes in your stream the same day.
Yeah.
You may have 2 weeks between episodes, potentially.
Now, I think it's not going to make a difference to anyone. But I just in disagree. Case, Paul does think that.
I have
so
shown Wayne time and time again the statistics that show that if we drop something weeks and weeks after it comes out, less people bother.
And I acted towards those reports much like a Trump supporter. I just fucking turned my head and said, fuck it. So
Wayne also disagrees that having guests on the show helps the show. Anyway, so you can see he lives in the anti-vax world.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I do not. Don't do that. I'm double-shotted, man. What the fuck?
No, I realize you are. But my point is you live in that same world of denial.
Sure.
About our stats and the way we progress.
A little. Yeah.
So the other thing is we're going to introduce some occasional different topics like The War on Seagal.
Yes.
Instead of episodes. Well, if we can't get a review or whatever else, that's going to come out instead. So We're not going to force old school reviews and blah, blah, blah. If nothing catches our attention that way, you can expect something along those
that's
lines
right. Instead. Brands call this a diffusion line.
Okay. So yeah, Wayne's the marketer.
Like
I'm just
Emporio
gonna,
Armani is our money.
So it could be a little bit different. There might be some other weird and wonderful things that go beyond. We're going to endeavor to bring a countdown every week, but you know, every so often there might be something that really compels us to go, we're not doing a countdown. Like this week. We didn't do a countdown? We did an extravaganza?
It's just a fun show for us to talk and shit, and maybe you'll dig it. We're hoping you'll dig it.
Yeah, we're hoping you dig it. We're hoping we'll get out to more people, wider audience. You know, I can't see it being the top 10 tips for dating from Wayne and Paul. I don't think that's going to work.
Unless you'd like to hear that and let us know.
Let us know.
Let us know. All right.
God, I can only imagine from Wayne.
Go right in. No, hey, really. No, this will be a great insight, and you'll see how responsible a man I am. That's right, Paul. Don't give me that
bitch,
damn smirky punk-ass bitch.
All right, well, that is what we have to say to you for our 350th episode of The Countdown. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much to those who have been here for the long haul.
And
those
new folks.
Yeah, may have joined up in recent times. Like, you're all so appreciated, loved by us. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And to our patrons, an extra special shout out of love because you are the lifeblood of the show that keeps this going.
That's right.
I know that some people would like.
I think I'd rather eat some piss
than listen to podcasts. But you, you are different. And that is what we truly, truly do appreciate.
You're an asshole. Okay, then.
Well, unlike Wayne, who...
oh, my God. I'm so sorry. We have not contributed anything to society this day.
I think we have.
That syntax doesn't work, you fuck.
Until we're fine. As you can tell, we have fun doing the show, and that's why it's going to continue. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us again today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard. Well, Wayne's a cunt. Moving on. We'll catch you next time.